Will you turn in God's Word to the book of Exodus, chapter 33? Book of Exodus, chapter 33, with God's Word before us. Let us unite our heart together in prayer, and let us pray the Lord will give us a word. We want to come to God's house today with an ear that hears the Word of God, and we might go away from God's house today knowing, well, the Lord met with me. And the Lord spoke with my soul. And what greater privilege could we ever have in coming to the house of God and going away than to be able to say, the Lord spoke to my heart. And we can pray to that end. Our Father in heaven, we thank the Lord for the words of these hymns, what we have heard sung to us. We pray, Lord, that as we come now to the Word of God, Thou wilt give Thy help and give Thy power. Lord, we pray that we will know a gracious sense of Thy presence. We will know the Lord has been in our midst and there's been a word of encouragement to our souls. Remember us for good now. Put Your loving arms around us. Fill with Thy Holy Spirit this vessel and grant that power and aid will be given to lift up the name of our dear Saviour. Put Your loving arms around us and be with us now. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, we ask all these things. Amen. I want to leave with you some verses. They're found there in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, and verse 14 especially, and 15, if we could tie those two verses together. The Lord says, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then we have Moses' intercession with God, where it says, He said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. We have reminded you in our reading that this event where Moses seeks the face of God occurs against the backdrop of the sin of the children of Israel. When Moses was up there in the mountain, they said among themselves beneath the mountain, we don't know what's happened to Moses. And you know the story of how Aaron allowed those golden calves to be made. And they worshipped them instead. That was a great sin in Israel. Moses felt it keenly. And you can read the events of chapter 32, especially as well as leading into chapter 33, and you will see how seriously Moses viewed that whole situation. I think it comes through in these two verses where God, in answer to the prayer of Moses, says to him, My presence shall go with thee. As Moses intercedes, wanting to know the way of God, wanting to know what is going to happen now for days ahead. And God is able to say to Moses, My presence shall go with thee. But then he immediately interjects in prayer and he says, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I want to leave these verses with you. We're going to look at the connection between these verses and the events of the passage. But of course we want to connect them to our hearts today. The Word of God has a message for us. And of course in the work of God and in the cause of God, in our own personal lives as God's people, more than anything else, what do you require? What do you need as a child of God? Do you simply go through your life calling yourself a believer in Christ, a Christian? Is that enough for you? Is that enough for the church? Is that enough for God's people to have a name attached to ourselves that we are believers? No, no. We need much more than that. What we need, what we require day by day is to know this. God is with us. And the Lord is among us. That's something we need to be serious about It is something that requires much dedication, much faith, much prayer, much desire after God. And I trust that as we look at these verses, the Lord will impress that truth upon our hearts more and more. I trust also, if you've come to the house of God today somewhat downcast, that today you will sense and know in your heart and appreciate what you have in Jesus Christ. And you will know in your heart the Lord is with you. But we want to consider this request, and we want to consider this prayer of Moses against the backdrop of what the Lord even has just said. The first thing that I would draw your attention to here with regard to the Lord's presence is the value that Moses places upon it. I think that comes through very strongly here in verse 15, where God says, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And Moses immediately says these words, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Now, that petition of Moses and that prayer that he makes here has to be considered against the backdrop of what has just happened and even Moses' actions, because Moses' actions give the clear indication here of the kind of man that he is as a child of God. He is a man who values greatly this: God is with us. If you go there, back to verse 13, he says, "Show me now thy way. If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight." The whole sentence there, if you like, is loaded with an appreciation of this great truth. I wish to know, thou art with me. Now, of course, I am very sure, if I were to go amongst God's people here today and ask you the question, "Do you want the Lord to be with you?" I am very sure you would say, "Oh yes, I want God to be with me." We want that. But you know, there's no point in saying that if we don't appreciate what that means. And it's when you appreciate Moses and the actions of Moses up to this point, then you realize this is a man who is in touch with God and a man who really values the presence of God. What are those actions? You will look there at chapter 32. Draw your attention to some verses, verse 11 and through to verse 13. It says there, against the backdrop of what has just happened, the sin of Israel, Moses besought the Lord his God. In verse 11, chapter 32 of Moses. And he says, "Why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath. Repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abram, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever." At the first hint of the displeasure of God, what do we find Moses doing? Interceding. Seeking the face of God in prayer. I think before going any further, we could say Moses here is a great type of the Lord Jesus. You think of that scene when the Lord was speaking to Peter. And you remember Peter, what lay ahead for him, his denial of the Lord. Oh, his protestations were great. He thought he would die for the Lord. But you remember what Peter, or what the Lord said? "Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Isn't it a wonderful thing, believer, that in the glory at this very moment we have a precious Savior who is ever praying for us, ever interceding on our behalf? Do you know you and I couldn't survive the Christian life one second except for Christ bearing us up before the Father? What a great intercessory role He has for us. Does that not encourage us greatly as we face the challenges and the trials and the temptations of this life, and we look and watch over our failures? Is it not an amazing thing? Christ is bearing us up ever before His Father. But you know, there's a practical lesson here as well. And it's this. Moses intercedes for the people of God. As he sees their sin and realizes the consequences of it, he is before God for them. Let me apply that very practically on a personal level. When you see another brother falling, what do? Is it not often the case we point the finger and we want to talk about what they've done? Do you know what we ought to be doing? On our knees before God, praying for that individual. In our churches, in our congregations, when we see sin, what do? We ought to be before God. Because we should have something in our minds at all times. We must have the presence of God. And we must have the blessing of God. That requires us then to intercede. You will notice that Moses disassociated himself from the sin. In fact, he took here, the Bible says, the tabernacle. And he brought it outside the camp. That denotes his consecration unto God. Oh, believers, we are not to be caught up with the sins of this world. We are to be caught up with Christ. And we are to be identifying always with Him and living unto Him. Is that the way we are? This is the kind of person that values aright the presence of God. I would mention also that in this chapter, we learn that Moses takes the tabernacle. We began with verse 7 of chapter 33. And it says there, he took the tabernacle, pitched it without the camp. That is, the worship of God now was going to be separate from that sin that had been going on in the camp. Can I say a word about our denomination? And as a church body, why are we in existence? We're in existence because we believe that in many places that purport to be Christian, false worship is taking place. And we have said as a church, we're not going to be part of that. We want to worship God as He should be worshipped in light of the Scriptures, in light of the Word of God. And we come together here today to do what? To worship God as He should be worshipped. Because we believe that that is where God will be. God is not in apostasy. God is where He will be worshipped in spirit and in truth. My, as churches, separated unto the gospel, could we get a view of this again and see that as we come together, what do we come to do? We come together to worship the Lord. We come together to strengthen our hearts in the great truths related to His name. This is the kind of man Moses was. Could I then point out something else about Moses? Why did he view so highly the presence of God? Why does he want to know the way of God? Why does he say here in verse 15, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence? Could I leave with you some reasons? I trust from the passage. If you look there at the passage and see what he says in verse 16. He says, for. So here's the reason. He says, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Do you get what he's saying here? How will we know that God is with us? His presence. If you look there at the later part of the verse, he says, so shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. If you think of the wilderness, and you think of their journeys through the wilderness as a people, what was the mark that made them different from all the people that were in other nations and other peoples? They had no land at this time. They were simply wandering through the wilderness. So what had this people got that other nations had not? Do you see in that tabernacle? There God was pleased to talk with Moses. A friend speaks with his friend. There the presence of God was known. That tabernacle at this stage, I'm sure, was but a crude structure, a tent. It didn't have the ornate furniture that the tabernacle that was to be made would have. It just was a crude tent. And yet there, the visible token of God's presence was known. The cloudy pillar descended, and the presence of God was there. God spake unto Moses. Joshua in that tent heard it. God was known. That's why you ought to value highly the presence of God. If I could speak individually to the congregation here, as it were, this is why we ought to value highly the presence of God among you and among my congregation and my church. Because here God is pleased to speak. Here God is pleased to make himself known. For instance, when I open my Bible, what do I want to happen? Do I want merely to read words? Oh, the words are mightily important. But I want much more than that. I want those words of God to burn deep into my soul. And I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Do you know it's very possible to open your Bible, to come to the house of God, and to be deaf, not to know this presence? I think of that scene in John's Gospel, chapter 21, where the disciples, you remember they were fishing. The Lord was now appearing to them. And in John's Gospel, chapter 21, those few verses that we read there in the opening part of the chapter, it says, when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no, still not knowing who he was. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to come to the house of God, not to see the Lord, and not to hear his voice, and not recognize what it is he is saying? No, for that we need to know his presence. We need to be walking close with him. Can I ask you today, when's the last time you opened the Bible and you heard the voice of the Lord through his truth and his word burning into your soul, burning into your heart? The Song of Solomon has something to say about this. She says, behold, the voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh skipping upon the hills. Have you been there lately, hearing the voice of the Lord to your heart and to your soul? As a congregation, we need always to be in that place so that when we come to listen to the Word of God, we can say, yes, we heard the voice of the Lord today. We heard him coming, skipping upon the hills. We're assured of his presence. A mighty thing to hear his voice. It's a mighty thing to hear His word. Could I remind you that the presence of God is vital because the trials of this life are impossible to face except you know His presence. That's why Moses said this. If thou go not with me, carry us not up hence. Think of what the presence of God meant there in that wilderness. The fiery pillar provided heat in the coldness of the wilderness, as the sun no longer shone and the coldness came in. What provided the heat for those people? The fiery pillar. What provided the protection from the sun during the day but that cloud covering them? Those were all indications of the presence of God. Why is the presence of God so vital among us? We cannot hope to face the trials that face the Christian church without the presence of God. There's a great indication of that in the book of Acts. You remember the scene when the disciples were being persecuted. But one thing that you will see throughout the book of Acts is this amongst the people of God is a tremendous sense of the Lord with them. They understood God was with them. That's why they could say, we're blessed that we're counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus Christ. Child of God, this is something we need. We cannot do without the presence of God. Without the Lord, we're nothing. Without the Lord, we couldn't succeed at all in anything we put our hand to. It is all of the Lord. We must have the presence of God. And then could I leave with you finally this thought. Do you notice there that Moses is in fact repeating what God has just said? Verse 14, God says, my presence shall go with thee. I will give thee rest. And then in verse 15 it says, Moses is speaking, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He's repeating the very promise that God made to him. It's not a wonderful thing. We think of all those great promises that God gives throughout the Word of God. God says to His church, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And the Lord says, I am with you always. What should the church do? The church should pray, Lord, be with us and help us. This morning, in bed, my wife and I, we read Spurgeon's morning and evening. So she reads. So I get a sermon from my wife each morning. Maybe you get a sermon from your wife. It'll be no better or no greater if you hear it from Spurgeon first. So my wife, she preaches then in the morning to me. But this morning we're reading in Spurgeon's morning and evening. A little phrase caught my attention as I was listening to her. I do listen to her, by the way. But I caught a little phrase where Spurgeon speaks of God making the hill of mercies. And of course you think of a hill and the sun coming up. We live near the Mourn, so the sun rises out there, and of course we're in the shadow for a time, and then the sun has to rise. Well, Spurgeon took that thought of the hill of God's mercies, and it putting God's people in a shadow. And he said that shadow had the purpose of causing God's people to pray. And that's what the promises of God are there for us. They are there for us to use to go to God to pray. Don't ever think of taking the promises of God and thinking that, well, I'll just move on thinking of the fact that God has promised. No, there needs to be prayer and there needs to be the seeking of the face of God. Was this church not born in prayer? With all the promises of God's word sitting before it? What did men do? The founders of our church got before God and prayed. And every subsequent blessing in this church came through prayer. Do you see what Moses is doing here? He is repeating the promises of God. They are to be pleaded. We are to go to God and to seek His face day by day. Do you notice that the promises of God have within them the blessed promise of victory? God says here to Moses, I will give you rest. That is, He would bring them into a land and He would settle them and give them rest. I think of that great promise the Lord Jesus gives to His people. Come unto Me, all ye that are weary, heavy laden, I will give you rest. There's personal rest in the midst of all the trials of this life, in the midst of all of its difficulties and its burdens, the ill health, the problems that come with life itself. What will give you rest? The fact that I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and He is my Savior and His blood has washed me and cleansed me. And despite all that is going on around me and the losses that I seem to be having, I have Jesus Christ and I have His pardon and I have His presence. That's the victory of the Christian life. This is the victory for the church. The world is against the testimony of Jesus Christ. If I could be particular, the world is against this church and its stand. But how will we go on? How will we have victory? By integrating into this world? No. By getting closer to the Lord. And by looking to Him more and more for His presence and His blessing. That's where victory comes. That's where rest comes. And though the church go through the fiery heat of trial and persecution and difficulty, here it finds its rest. That the Lord is with her. Christ is in the midst. That's the blessing for the church. Oh, as God's people, will we not see this afresh? Dedicate ourselves afresh to the cause of Jesus Christ. Seek His face day by day. Let the prayer meeting be full. Let our homes be places of prayer where we seek the face of God as Moses. Lord, if You don't go with us, then don't carry us up. Of all things, we need Thy presence. We need Thy help. May God come to our hearts afresh today. Bless us and encourage us for His name's sake.